ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालम् पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवम्। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। भगवद्गीता इज स्मृति प्रमाणम revealing the subject matter of the Upanishads, which are the Shruti Pramanam. This Bhagavad Gita is known as Brahma Vidya because Bhagavad Gita serves as a means of knowledge of the reality, like the Upanishad. And it is also called Yoga Shastram because Bhagavad Gita teaches the way of life, the values, the disciplines, in order to prepare one's mind for this knowledge. Therefore, it is called Yoga Shastram. And this Bhagavad Gita can be divided into three parts. Each part consisting of six chapters is called Shatkam. So, Bhagavad Gita consists of three Shatkams. The first set of six chapters called Prathama Shatkam. Second set of six chapters is called Madhyama Shatkam, the middle part of six chapters. And the third or the concluding part of six chapters called Charama Shatkam or Antima Shatkam. So, Prathama Shatkam, Madhyama Shatkam, Charama Shatkam are three parts, each part consisting of six chapters, totally become 18 chaptered Bhagavad Gita. And we know very well there are many Mahavakyani, there are many Vedantic declarations in the Upanishads, and four of them are always very well known as the sample Mahavakyam of each Veda. There again, the Mahavakyam from the Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda, the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is very popular, and which is a Mahavakyam, and any Mahavakyam reveals the identity between the individual, the microcosmic being, and the total, the macrocosmic being. See, Mahavakyam reveals the non-difference between the individual being and the total being. It reveals the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. We say, Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aike Jnana பிரதிபோதகம் வாக்கியம், ஐக்கிய சொரூப ஐக்கிய பிரதிபாதகம் போதகம் வாக்கியம். A statement which reveals the oneness of the truth of the individual being and the total being is called Mahavakyam. And here, this Mahavakyam Tattvamasi consists of three words. Tat, Tvam, Asi. And here the Tvam is a second person singular pronoun. Tat is a third person singular pronoun. And this Tvam, the second person singular pronoun, has two meanings. The primary literal meaning and the implied meaning. The primary meaning is Vachyarthaha. The implied meaning is Lakshyarthaha. Similarly, the word Tat also has Vachyarthaha and Lakshyarthaha. So, there is difference between the individual and the total, the microcosmic being and the macrocosmic being. The difference is from the standpoint of the upadhis, the standpoint of the name and form. But from the standpoint of the truth of the individual and the truth of the total, which is the implied meaning of the individual and the total, the Tvampada Lakshyartha and Tatpada Lakshyartha, there is no difference, there is non-difference. So there must be difference as well as non-difference between the two. Only then equation is possible. Therefore, here, the standpoint of the upadhis, the individual and the total are different, like the wave and the ocean. There's difference between the wave and the ocean. But from the standpoint of the reality, the water, there is non-difference. Similarly, here, from the standpoint of the lakshyartha of the tvam, the implied meaning of the word tvam, the standpoint of the implied meaning of the word tat, there is non-difference. Therefore, here, this is the Mahavakyam, which reveals the oneness of the truth of the whole. So the first six chapters, the first set of six chapters, called Prathama Shatkam, discusses the Tvam Pada Lakshyarthaha, the implied meaning of the second person singular pronoun Tvam, is discussed in the first six chapters. Therefore, we can say Prathama Shatkam, what? Tvam Pada Lakshyartha Pratipadakam. By studying, understanding, the six chapters of the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the truth of the individual must be very clear. Then the second set of six chapters, the Madhyama Shatkam, discusses the Tatpada Lakshyarthaha, the implied meaning of the word Tat is discussed in the second set of six chapters. And the third set of six chapters reveal the oneness of the truth of the Tvam and Tat. Discuss the third set of six chapters, this Charama Shatkam, discuss this oneness of the truth, the non-difference between the individual and the total. Therefore, by studying the entire Bhagavad Gita, finally, we are supposed to arrive at the truth of oneness of the reality. அப்போ அறிவு தி நான் டுவாலிட்டி ஆஃப் தி ரியாலிட்டி அண்ட் விச் இஸ் தி அட்டைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் மோக்ஷா. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is called Moksha Shastram. And here, we have taken up this sixth chapter this time. The sixth chapter is entitled as Dhyana Yogaha or Atma Sanyama Yogaha. So, Dhyana Yogo Nama Shashtodhyayah. Atma Sanyama Yogo Nama Shashtodhyayah. See, what is Dhyanam? Is the main teaching of this chapter. The word Dhyanam means upasanam, saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. Saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha means sagunam brahma is the object of meditation. The object of your focus, attention, is Ishwaraha, the Sagunam Brahma. It is meditation. And here, Sagunam Brahma is not mainly discussed. So this Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Saguna Upasanam, Saguna Dhyanam, meditation is a pre-preparatory discipline. Which means this meditation has limitation. This is an advantage of this meditation. There is a limitation of this meditation. What is the advantage of this meditation? Practice of this Saguna Dhyanam, Saguna Brahma Dhyanam, Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam will steady our, will contribute for mental steadiness. It will contribute for mental purification. Therefore, it contribute for mental preparedness required for knowledge. But Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam itself will not give knowledge. Therefore, Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam Upasanam will not help us attain moksha. It means directly it will not give us moksha. Because we know knowledge of the truth is mokshaha. And knowledge is mokshaha. Knowledge is freedom. Meditation, this Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam, Upasanam will not give us knowledge. It cannot remove the ignorance. What is that which will remove our ignorance? Knowledge alone will remove ignorance. For what is the jnana sadhanam? What is the means of attaining knowledge here? Is meditation or Jnana Yogaha? Will be very clear. Will meditation give us knowledge? This Upasanam will not give us knowledge means, then what will give us knowledge? it is the Jnana Yoga, pursuit of knowledge alone, will bless us with knowledge. And pursuit of knowledge means what? How should knowledge be pursued? So, the pursuit of knowledge involves three steps: Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. So, what is Shravanam? Shravanam is studying the scriptures regularly, systematically, consistently, constantly, continuously, under the guidance of a competent teacher who knows the sampradaya, a sampradaya with teacher, for a length of time, is Shravanam. Shravanam, definitely done properly, will bless one with knowledge. Shravanam will bless one with knowledge. But knowledge one attains through Shravanam may be, will or can be doubtful knowledge. So doubtful knowledge is as good as ignorance. Therefore, the knowledge gained through Shravanam, listening to the unfoldment of the text, Vedantic text, by the teacher, this knowledge should be followed by Mananam. Mananam, again, reflecting upon what has been heard, retained, understood, thereby seeing the limitations, seeing the fallacies in all other views, and ascertaining, understanding, removing one's doubts, one has, resolving, having one's doubts resolved, is called Mananam. So Mananam definitely should follow the Shravanam. Shravanam should precede the Mananam. Mananam without Shravanam is a meaningless action. It is not possible, first of all. Therefore, Mananam will give us doubt-free knowledge. So Shravanam will bless us with the knowledge. And if the knowledge gained through Shravanam is doubtful knowledge, and it has to be followed by Mananam, the Mananam will help one resolve the doubts in one's understanding. For Mananam will contribute for doubt-free knowledge. And what one has understood doubtlessly can be easily forgotten still because of one's long orientation. So in order not to forget what one has clearly, doubtlessly understood, and in order to enjoy the benefit of this knowledge, one has to continuously dwell upon the doubt-free understanding of the truth, doubt-free vision of the truth. And that constantly dwelling upon the clear, doubt-free vision of the truth is called Nididhyasanam, contemplation. And the contemplation, Nididhyasanam, is the final step which will result in the ascertained vision ascertained unforgettable, ever remembered vision of the truth, which is mokshaha, which is muktihi, which is freedom. And this nididhyasanam, in nididhyasanam is mental activity. Nididhyasanam is a mental activity. Upasanam, which we have discussed earlier, is also mental activity. But the difference is, in upasanam, there is meditator, meditated, subject, object, difference is there. Whereas in nididhyasanam, subject, object, difference is not there. The meditator, meditated, difference is not there. Why? Because when you are contemplating upon the nature of reality, the nature of reality you have arrived at as the nature of your own self. What you are dwelling upon, you are the one who is dwelling upon, and what is dwelt upon is your own swarupam. Therefore, there is no meditator and meditated difference. So this nidhyasanam implies what you are already having, the clear, doubt-free knowledge of what the truth is. Therefore, upasanam, saguna upasanam, which is to be practiced as a pre-preparatory discipline for actual meditation, is also called meditation. And nididhyasanam, which a contemplation, which is also meditation. Why? Contemplation also is a mental activity. Therefore, contemplation is meditation. But meditation is not contemplation. It is this contemplation, nididhyasanam, or is a meditation which is to be done after the attainment of knowledge. So what is to be practiced before the knowledge and what is to be practiced after the knowledge? What is to be done after the knowledge? Therefore, a spiritual seeker, a spiritual aspirant who has purushartha nischayaha, who is a mumukshuhu, who is a jigyasuhu, definitely would know this difference. Definitely should know the difference that the spiritual journey of the person involves three stages. Begins with meditation. Meditation practices saguna upasanam, thereby prepares his mind for knowledge, and by studying, by going through jnana yoga in terms of shravanam mananam, one attains the knowledge. Then by practicing nididhyasanam, which means then contemplating upon what one has understood through shravanam and mananam, clearly. One attains the ascertained vision of the truth as one's own self. And here, the sixth chapter mainly focuses on Nididhyasanam. So, Nididhyasanam, the contemplation, is the topic, main topic of discussion in the sixth chapter. So, what is that meditation which is focused on in the sixth chapter? Is the meditation to be practiced before the attainment of knowledge? Or is it the meditation, the contemplation, which is to be followed for the ascertainment of the vision after the understanding of the truth? Which is here discussed? It is the Nididhyasanam, contemplation. Even though Nididhyasanam is the main topic of discussion in the sixth chapter, the sixth chapter, Krishna discusses other factors, things also. Therefore, we can say the whole chapter as a whole presents six different topics. But all the six topics are not discussed one by one in order. There is no order here. All the six topics are not discussed in a proper order, because Krishna's teaching was not a prepared talk to Arjuna. He was just talking, giving the vision as a person of fullness, as a person of vision, and he was giving the vision to Arjuna. Therefore, he just talked, and all these five topics, or six topics, are really found, you can say, they're strewn all over. So, we have to understand which are the verses which discuss, which are the verses which discuss which topic. We have to understand. But Krishna begins the chapter, opens this chapter with the verse on karma yoga glory. The opening verse of the sixth chapter presents the glory of karma yoga. Glory of the karma yoga is given in the form of the glory of a karma yogi. So, karma yoga comes under what we have to see here. As I said, the six chapters discussed here are, let us see one by one first for our understanding, then we can go into the chapter. Bahiranga sadhanam. Or Bahiranga Sadhanani or Samanya Sadhanani means disciplines to be followed throughout one's life in day-to-day actions. So this Bahiranga Sadhanani or Samanya Sadhanani are said to be general preparatory disciplines. And these disciplines should be followed always in our day-to-day actions in day-to-day life, not only before the meditation. Every day once you get up, when you begin our life, until you go to bed, in all your actions, in the whole day's transactions, we have to consciously follow these disciplines. Therefore, the general preparatory disciplines called Samanya Sadhanani or Bahiranga Sadhanani. So, Karma Yoga comes under this Bahiranga Sadhanam. Then, the second topic discussed here is Vishesha Sadhanani, Vishesha Sadhanam or Antaranga Sadhanam. Antaranga Sadhanam means the disciplines which have to be specific disciplines which have to be followed before the practice of meditation. This is the difference between the Bahiranga Sadhanam and Antaranga Sadhanam. The disciplines to be followed always, disciplines to be followed before meditation. But we are going to see elaborately when we are going to do the verses. It's only here, initially, this whole teaching is presented here. Then, the third topic is the nature of meditation. Nature of meditation means what exactly is meditation? Does meditation mean knocking off the mind? Does meditation mean dropping of thoughts? Does meditation mean killing or destruction of the mind? Does meditation mean transcending, completely going away from the mind? What is actually meditation? What is nature of meditation? Dhyana Swarupam Kim. This is the third topic of meditation. You have to remember, Krishna does not present in this order, but these are all the topics discussed there. Then, what are all the obstacles we have in meditation? The next topic is the obstacles one faces in meditation and the means of overcoming those obstacles. Obstacles and the remedy to overcome those obstacles. There are many obstacles discussed, but here Krishna discusses only one main obstacle and he presents the remedy also. And the fifth topic is the benefit of meditation. When I say benefit of meditation, you have to remember it is the contemplation, It is the Nididhyasanam. Therefore, what is the Nididhyasana Phalam? What do I gain as a result of contemplation? People may have many doubts as a result of meditation. Will I have some extraordinary supernatural powers, occult powers? Can I have some siddhi, attama siddhis? Or will I be able to read all others' minds, know beforehand what they are thinking? Or will I be able to predict my own future and others' future? I practice and practice and practice meditation. By practicing meditation, will I get some special powers that I can know the future in advance? What is going to happen in 2016 and next year? Or what is going to happen for this person, that person? Can I predict the future? Like an astrologer. What is the benefit of meditation? Here, why I have to say this? Because when we practice the Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam or Saguna Upasanam as a preparatory discipline for this actual meditation, as a result of practicing that upasanam, one may get many results as a byproduct of the practice of meditation. And our shastram itself prescribes many in upasana khanda. Our scripture itself prescribes many meditative techniques, and practicing which one can have varieties of results. And all those results basically are within the realm of matter, which is material ends, including samadhi experience. So definitely, the benefit of Nididhyasanam, the result of Nididhyasanam, contemplation, will not be samadhi. Samadhi experience is not the result of meditation. Accomplishment of any special powers is not the benefit of Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasana phalam is what Nididhyasanam will not give us knowledge. Nididhyasanam is what? Practice after the knowledge. In fact, Nididhyasanam is all the time being with the understanding of the fact one has already understood through Shravanam and Mananam. So Nididhyasanam should not be mistaken for something which will give us the experience of something after the attainment of knowledge. I have attained knowledge through Shravanam and Mananam. Now, Nididhyasanam will bless me with some new experience. That should not be the understanding. Because here, every experience is mithya. And every experience is Brahman, the reality. So, Nididhyasana palam is not for experiencing Brahman. Nididhyasanam is not for experiencing Brahman. Nididhyasanam is after having understood the Brahman. After having understood the reality, we dwell upon the nature of reality, which is Nididhyasanam. And the benefit of this Nididhyasanam is, in fact, not experience of Brahman. Nididhyasanam, benefit of Nididhyasanam is for experiencing the revelation of fullness, experiencing the peace. We experience the benefit of knowledge. Nididhyasanam is for experiencing the fruit of knowledge, not for attaining knowledge or not for experiencing Brahman. Even moksha is also not an object of experience. Moksha also is what? You understand moksha as very swarupam of Brahman. In fact, to experience the greatest luxury of reveling in the vision of the truth. These are the first five main topics, and still Nididhyasanam is the main topic of focus. And the next topic is not associated, connected to this particular subject matter. Therefore, we can take these five topics as the topics discussed in this sixth chapter. Our Puranas, the legends, always depict the asuras, rakshasas. And all those asuras were all rakshasas, were great meditators, upasakas. And as a result, by practicing meditation, they had lot of siddhi powers also. Highly, they had all sorts of powers. Because they had the powers, they wanted to, and they abused the powers, which means, you know, abuse the powers means what? They abused the powers for arthakamas through wrong means. To have arthakamas through wrong means. That is why they are called asuras and rakshasas. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter is not interested in helping us, even though the meditation as a discipline is very important. The meditation as a preparatory discipline is not emphasized here. What is emphasized here is the Upanishadic meditation, Vedantic meditation called Nididhyasanam, the contemplation. There, one thing I have to remember, this Nididhyasanam will not give us knowledge, because Nididhyasanam itself is after attaining knowledge through Shravanam and Mananam. And Nididhyasanam is only for ascertaining what you have understood through Shravanam and Mananam. Okay, so with this background, now let us begin the sixth chapter. Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Dhyana Yogo Nama, Dhyana Yogo Nama, Shashtodhyayaha, Shri Bhagavanuvacha, Anasritah Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Karoti Yah, Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha, Nanirag Nirna Chakriyah, Shri Bhagavanuvacha, Anasritah Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Karoti Yah, Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha, Nanirag Nirna Chakriyah. The first verse reveals, presents the glory of Karma Yoga by glorifying a Karma Yogi. Why Karma Yoga is glorified here? Which means Karma Yoga comes under the Bahiranga Sadhanam. Which means Karma Yoga, living a life of Karma Yoga, will bless one with Samatva Buddhihi. We are not going to discuss here how to live a life of Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? We will not discuss here. Why? Because that we have already discussed in second chapter and third chapter. What is Karma Yoga? How to live a life of Karma Yoga? So Karma Yoga itself is a way of life. We have understood that in other chapters. But here, what does one gain as a result of Karma Yoga? That is emphasized. If a person lives a life of Karma Yoga, he must have Purushartha Nischayaha first of all. He must be definite about his ultimate end being, discovery of moksha. Which means for him, knowledge, attainment of knowledge is the ultimate goal of life. Knowledge is his the priority. Therefore, he is a spiritual person who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, one who is given to the study of the Shastram as a jignasu, thereby one who lives a life enjoined by the scripture. Which means one who has a proper attitude in performing actions. Because he is very clear that moksha is the happiness, the freedom from limitations, is already there, it cannot be attained, and it is something to be discovered. And until one discovers, all that one needs to do is, one needs to prepare one's mind to be eligible to discover that moksha, which is a choiceless end. In order to prepare his mind, what he should do, he is focusing his attention on preparing his mind for knowledge. Karma Yogi is the one being having his knowing his end, being moksha very clearly, but focusing his attention on his mental preparation, the qualification required for knowledge. Therefore, he entertains an attitude in performing actions. He has Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. He performs all his actions. You know, they become offered to Bhagavan because he is performing actions, expecting the results for the results, but without being dependent on results for his happiness. Aiming for Jnanam, depending upon knowledge for happiness. Therefore, he has Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. And in facing all the results of actions also, when he is performing actions, he is free from anxiety. He is not anxious of the results of actions. He focuses his attention in action. He is not brooding over the past, nor is he anxious about the future results. Therefore, his attention is totally available for the present actions. And he is performing also, there is no anxiety, because he performs his actions with the proper attitude, but he knows whatever comes is prasadaha. There is no failure for a karma yogi, because externally there may be a success or failure, there may be gain or loss, there may be favorable or unfavorable result, but definitely there is no absolute failure for a karma yogi, because his attitude with which he performs and the action which he performs for living his life, and the very life for which he is living, you know, makes his karma yoga. That means prasada. For him, everything which comes in life is prasada. Because of this attitude, his internal growth, inside growth, inner growth is taken care of. All his performances of all his actions contribute for inward growth, inner growth, which is as growth maturity required for spiritual vision, spiritual wisdom. Therefore, he has prasada buddhihi, and he is the one who knows the value of dharma values. Therefore, who is always committed to live a life of values. And because he is committed to live a life of values, with the proper attitude of seeing, accepting everything as prasada, doing everything with an attitude of offering it as arpanam to Bhagavan, and his life is filled with grace of Bhagavan, because there is no second, he is forgetful of Ishvara. It is the attitude, Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi and Prasada Buddhihi and commitment to dharma, these three factors, remained him all the time of Ishvara. It is these three factors in Karma Yogi's life, makes Bhagavan be there. These three factors bring Bhagavan there in his life. His life is Ishvara's grace-filled life. And such a person, for him, moksha is his ultimate end. Knowledge of the truth is his ultimate end. Therefore, commitment to live a life of dharma is his priority, because he has to prepare his mind for knowledge. Therefore, he is not dependent on the material gains, material ends for his happiness and security. He is not dependent on any arthakama ends for his security and happiness. He pursues artha and he pursues kama. He does have desire for artha. He does have desire for enjoyment of pleasures, but they're only for living this life. But he pursues artha and kama in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. This is his way of life. He pursues artha and kama, but artha kamas are only relative ends. They're required for living this life. But for him, the life is lived for moksha. Therefore, he pursues artha and kama in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. He is karma yogi, which means if the choice is given, whether he wants, if two things are given, artha kamas are given, moksha is given, if he is asked to choose one of the three, he will definitely choose moksha, not artha kamas. It does not mean he hates artha kamas. He knows the value of artha kamas. He knows the importance of artha kamas. Wealth, money, pleasures, he knows the necessity of all of them. At the same time, what are the relative ends? What is the ultimate end? What is for what? He knows very well. Wealth, money, etc., all arthas are not for moksha. He knows very well. But they are required for living this life. Enjoyment of pleasures is not for moksha. Definitely, they can't give moksha. They are required, but they are required for living this life. But even though they are very necessary for living this life, they should not be pursued at the cost of dharma. But therefore, one who knowing the value of dharma, one who pursues artha and kama in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha, is a karma yogi. So therefore, here Bhagavad Gita glorifies him as what? He is a real meditator. He is, say, glorification. He is a real sannyasi. A karma yogi is praised highly as a meditator. Even though he is not a meditator, he is praised as a meditator. Even if he is not a sannyasi, externally, he does not wear the saffron robes, does not have any sign of all sannyasis. Still, he is a sannyasi. Karma yogi is a yogi, means meditator. Karma yogi is a sannyasi. Why? First verse he says, anashritah karma phalam anasrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yah karyam karma karoti yah. So yah, he who karoti performs, he who performs what karyam karma, he who performs the actions which have to be performed. What are those actions which have to be performed? Those actions prescribed by the scripture. So actions are prescribed in the scripture. Two types of actions are prescribed in the scripture. Actions which have to be performed for accomplishing artha kama, wealth, performed for accomplishing the enjoyment of pleasures. And also actions prescribed for one's own emotional maturity, inner spiritual growth. Such as, suppose japaha, the teacher may ask, do japa. What is japa for? Japaha is for one's mental preparation. Okay, do sandhya vandanam. Suppose there's every day, you know, morning, evening, and in the, you know, morning, afternoon, and evening. Which means early in the morning, dawn, then noon, and dusk. Three times a day, three meeting points of the time, may you do this worship, a prayer. Certain things are prescribed. Why? These are all disciplines, isn't it? There are also such activities are also there. So here we can understand karyam karma means panchamaha yajnas. Panchamaha yajnaha. We are not going to discuss those panchamaha yajnas here. So performing the actions which are prescribed in the shastram, following the injunctions, the shastram, doing these panchamaha yajnas, which means performing the actions by which not only one benefits, one's own self benefits, but also others benefit. That means the beneficiaries of one's actions are more and more people. So performing such actions, which means one who lives a highly contributive life. Karyam karma karoti, one who performs what needs to be done, what has to be done, what can be done, what must be done, what has been prescribed by the shastram, by performing which one's own self benefits, others also benefit. Such actions, performing such actions, karyam karma karoti. But how does he perform? Karma phalam anashritaha. Ashritaha means relying upon, depending on. Anashritaha means without depending upon the fruits of actions. Here we have to be very careful. Krishna does not say without expecting the results. He only says without depending upon the fruits of actions for his security or happiness. Without depending upon fruits of actions means what? A fruit of any action must be what? Artha or kama. A fruit of an action cannot be jnanam or moksha. Which means not having any concern for the material ends. He wants material ends. He knows the value of the material ends in terms of arthakamas. He knows the necessity of the material ends. Therefore, he performs actions for material ends. Expecting the material ends, he performs actions. But he has no concern for the material ends means he is not dependent on the material ends for his happiness and security. So, karma phalam anashritaha karyam karma yaha karoti. One who performs his duties without being dependent on the material ends for his happiness and security. And such a person, saha yogi. Yogi means meditator. A karma yogi, whether he practices meditation or not, still he is a meditator. You know why he is a meditator? Because when he is performing an action, he is conscious of living a life of dharma, which means he is very focused. Without being alert, without being focused, it is not possible for one to live a life of dharma, a life of morality, a life of ethics. Because there is no yoga, karma yoga, without following values, disciplines in one's actions. Therefore, he is committed to live a life of dharma. Therefore, he is focusing and he has Ishwararpana buddhi. Because all the time, he never forgets moksha being his ultimate end. Therefore, being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, committed to the study of the Shastram, and he is always focused. He does not lose sight of his end being moksha. Therefore, he is focused. Therefore, he is a meditator. Why? Because the important qualification one requires to have for meditation is samatvam, sameness of mind, equanimity, balance. If the mind is elated, the mind is dejected. Dejection and elation both are disturbing the mind, which means both contribute for mental disturbance. Whoever wins the game in a sport also cannot peacefully sleep. One who loses also cannot sleep. Which means one cannot be balanced. The desirable, undesirable, favorable, unfavorable, in all situations, going through all the times also, one who has the sameness of mind, which means one who remains the same in all situations, without having elation and dejection, is said to have the balanced mind, is samatva buddhiman, one who has the mental equipoise, and such a person alone can focus, meditate. And here, this karma yogi, because of his attitude, because of his commitment, because of his Ishwararpana buddhi, Ishwar Prasada buddhi, commitment to dharma, and again, because of Prasada buddhi, that he is not concerned about the result at all. He expects the result, but for him, any result is okay. There's no anxiety about the future result. Karma Yogi is the one who lives in the present, which means it is possible only for a Karma Yogi. It is possible to live in the present. Why? Because he will not be worried about the past. He will not be anxious about the future result. Because he has prasada buddhi. And whatever comes is prasada. Second thing, he is not dependent on the result for his security and moksha. He knows. Therefore, he is the anxiety-free minded is a karma yogi. That anxiety-free minded is the one who can what have this equanimity. Is the one who can remain the same in all situations, and that samatvam, the sameness of mind, is something which is very important qualification for the meditator. Relative. Therefore, karma yogi is said to be the meditator even if he is not practicing meditation. Then, sannyasi. Sannyasi cha yogi cha. He is a sannyasi. Why he is a sannyasi? He is not wearing saffron robes. He has not taken sannyasa in the bank of Ganga from some own swami. He is not living on alms, bhiksha. He is not looked after by society. He is living his life, doing his duties, earns his money. He has married, family, relatives, everything is there, but still he is a sannyasi. Why karma yogi is a sannyasi? Because what has he renounced? He has renounced the concern for future. He has renounced the concern for results of actions. Sannyasi. And Krishna goes one step again. Saha sannyasi, saha yogi. One step he goes and says what? The one who is in the form of sannyasi, wearing saffron robes, really is not a sannyasi. If that person has concern for future. Where can I live? Where should I find a house? Even though I'm just joking, okay. Who will give bhiksha? Will Dema bring some rava idlis? The concern, what will happen tomorrow? How to start an ashram? How to maintain the ashram? How to collect funds for the ashram? Who can I grab as an unpaid accountant to work in the ashram? If all these things are there, that person, even if the person is wearing saffron robes, is not a sannyasi. But a karma yogi who is focused, karma yogi is not an easy thing. If we can be karma yogis, it's a great thing. Because that is very important. It is the living a life of karma yoga alone will bless us with the art of learning to remain the same in all situations. It is very important. This is the art of living. Karma yoga is an art of living. The way of life is an art of living. And this, what is it we learn? We learn to, this will teach us, really, to learn. We learn to remain the same, to maintain the equipoise of the mind. learning to maintain the equanimity, the equipoise of the mind in all situations itself is a great art. It is Karma Yoga will bless us with it. Therefore, he is a yogi, he is a sannyasi, not the akriyaha. Na niragnihi. Na niragnihi means, agnihi means, literally means fire. Niragnihi means one who has taken to a life of sannyasa, renouncing, made a vow to renounce all the performances of all the rituals, fire rituals. So after taking sannyasa, one is not supposed to perform all the fire rituals. There's a commitment made. Niragnihi means the day if a man takes to a life of sannyasa, and he must be having, before taking the life of sannyasa, he must be having the sacred thread, which he would have got it at the time of Upanayanam, when he was very, very young. When he was initiated into the study of the Shastram, and he would have been given this sacred thread. And that he would have been having throughout his life, all the ashramas. And when he takes to a life of sannyasa, externally, when he goes through the ritual of, taking to a life of sannyasa, and he would have had this sacred, he would have broken and thrown away in Ganga. And that day onwards, and he is not eligible, he should not be performing any more rituals. And what should sannyasi be doing? He must be shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Then he must be sharing his wisdom with other people. So through teaching, he can be in contemplation. He or she should be in contemplation. Isn't it? Therefore, he places his mind only in Shastram. Without that, the person is worried about other things means, then definitely that person is not a sannyasi. Na niragnihi. Na cha akriyaha. Not the non-performer of actions. Akriyaha means, so simply not doing any actions. Non-performance of actions. A non-performance of rituals, or remaining as externally as a sannyasi, does not make one a sannyasi. One may look a sannyasi, one may claim oneself to be a sannyasi, but one is not a sannyasi. Sannyasi is the one who is not anxious about his future. One who is free from anxiety about future. All that I want is right now it's here. It has to be revealed. All that I need is jnanam. For the jnanam, I had to become qualified. To qualify, I can't get it overnight. With patience, prayerfully, worshipfully, as an offering, everything I do as an offering to Bhagavan, with totally committed to live a life of dharma, and seeing everything as prasada, anything I do, anything that comes, I need it. But that is not my concern. Is there such a person is a sannyasi, a yogi? Na niragnihi, na akriyaha. Okay? Therefore, bahiranga sadhanam. What is the bahiranga sadhanam? What we have to do, follow throughout our life? means always we should know. All our efforts must be to understand what is Karma Yoga, how I can understand and live a life of Karma Yoga. If I live a life of Karma Yoga, then that is the only way the only way I can maintain my mental equipoise. Without maintaining this mental equanimity, equipoise, there is no way of being meditative. Which meditation? Any meditation, whether it is upasanam, whether it is nididhyasanam. Definitely, we are not interested in upasanam. We are interested in nididhyasanam, for nididhyasanam, even for shravanam, even for jnanam, even for mananam, even for nididhyasanam. It is very important for us. What is important in life is the mental equipoise, remaining the same. How can I remain the same in all situations? That is the only thing we have to focus on. Something unpleasant happens, or something pleasant happens. Happened before, I'm not thinking of what has happened before. I'm doing something, I'm not what's going to happen in future. No. Whatever comes is prasada. What now? Which means there is no anxiety. Isn't it? Then what happens? That samatva buddhi, samatvam, is very important qualification for meditation. How to remain balanced? People think by practicing meditation they can become balanced. No. Practice of upasanam will not help you become balanced. Becoming balanced is possible only if when you live your life consciously. Go sit in meditation for some time. I mean, not to nidhyasanam. Okay, I practice meditation. Some nama japa I do, something I do. That's all good. I'm not saying meditation is useless. Definitely any meditation you practice is good. It will calm your restless, agitated mind. It will quieten your restless mind, no doubt. Even though meditation will definitely not remove your ignorance, it will make the highly disturbed, turbulent, agitated mind a calm mind. But here, you know, what is important is equipoise. Why? Because we do not have two minds. Which means unpleasant thing happened, so I should forget the past. To forget one mind and to remember all the good, to remember only what is important now, that for that one mind. It's a Tamil song. Nirandumma nambendum marandu vahala ondru ninaitthu vahala ondru. So we don't have two minds, only one mind is there. And with that one mind alone, and as when you are living in this world, you have to earn arthakama, which means you have to transact with the people in the world. And when we transactions means we are dealing with the people, means other fellow beings and other creatures in the world, other things in the world, definitely our minds are subject to get agitated. There will be, whether conversation between husband and wife, conversation between the teacher and the student, conversation between any two friends, or any interaction between the manager and the subordinates. Definitely anything can contribute for irritations, contribute for anger or jealousy or hatred. It is possible. And with all those things, it is not possible for the mind to forget. We'll come back home with all of them. And again at home also, children or wife or husband, with them also there may be some desirable, undesirable, you know, situations arise. Then what happened with that? If you go and sit, the mind won't be really balanced. Therefore, this is the significance of, you know, practicing this Bahiranga Sadhanam, that comes with that, well, all those things. So once you feel, you know how to be non-reactive, so how to see, how this attitude of seeing everything as prasadam helps you not to be reactive. So even if things are there, till once you come down, which means you can, this karma yogi can, has all those problems, but anger, irritation, jealousy, hatred, or water problems, you know, he became victim of, you know, say maybe some disturbances may be possible, but still, because of his focus, because of Purushartha Nischaya, because of the commitment to the knowledge, because of this effort to live like a dharma, he can switch, he can shift his mind, switch off with that part. He can stop it, and at the same time, and he will not think of the future also. His mind will be available for the next thing, what he has to do. Now, the past events, past things will not cause any disturbance. Because of the Samatha Buddhi, he is available for present meditation. Understand? That's why Karma Yogi is a yogi meditator, we say. One who lives a life of Karma Yoga alone can learn this art of maintaining the mental equipoise in all situations. That mental, remaining balanced in all situations is an important qualification for meditation, which one can gain only by living a life of Karma Yoga. When do you live? Living a life of Karma Yoga means what? Which disciplines to be followed in order to be a Karma Yogi are followed always throughout your life, day in and out, isn't it? Throughout the day, in day-to-day actions, always we follow. That is why this Karma Yoga comes under the Bahiranga Sadhanam, which is discussed in this first verse. Okay, we'll see tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.